Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 23, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For March 21st, 2018, it's Wednesday. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Jacko. Bry me a river!
Bry me!
That was courtesy of the ironing is delicious, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
That's right, it's your boy, Roland J's Israel Stress Choir, in the building. Actually, I don't smoke stress, so never mind that. And that was a homemade AKA, because I just think of him in the car on the way here.
Nice. And we are thrilled to be joined by the hilarious comedian Noah Gardenschwartz.
Hey, what's up? Forgot to come up with a cool moniker, but happy to be here nonetheless.
You've got the coolest moniker there is.
The man who lives and breathes Nugs.
There it is.
Right, exactly. Noah, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Well, I don't know that it's revealing about who I am, but the most interesting thing I've researched recently was poo-pourri.
Because
I was listening to Oprah's podcast.
Is that a good podcast?
Yeah, it's not bad. My girlfriend was playing it, so I was listening.
You didn't have to qualify that.
Sure. And I could not help but be shocked by the fact that the one sponsor is Poo-Pourri, which is just such an odd sponsor
for Oprah's podcast.
Well, sure, but I'd like she could probably get any sponsor in the world. So I was just like, what's the deal with this product? And then when I Googled it, I came to find out that they are kind of in a war with Squatty Potty.
Oh, because they have competing butt
sprays. Yeah, exactly. So there's this whole underground shit spray comp heating up right now.
I've used both. Okay, because first of all, I shamed Squatty Potty into sending me a free one because I was using an old step stool to get my squat on. And then it came with the bottle. Now, the shit that they give you, the shit spray that they have, it works like because their whole thing is like it deodorizes. Right. Poo-pourri is like an oil that creates like a lipid layer.
Instead of deodorizing, like, no, we're going to odorize with some nice shit.
Yeah, and like so the poo-pourri just creates like a thick layer. So once the shit goes in the water, nothing can sort of permeate the water to come out. Whereas the Squatty Potty one is also like we're not just trying to hide it. We're going to deodorize it. And there's like gold and shit in it.
I love that I thought I was coming in with some new. And Miles is breaking it down with words like,
I'm the motherfucking shit master.
He's using words like permeate when he's talking about a poo spray.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I didn't realize that there was a beef, though. Or like that
they're
taking shots at each other?
The ads are heating up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's why. Because the whole thing of the Squatty Potty one is taking shots at poo because it's like, we're not just trying to hide it.
Right.
Like, we're doing something about it.
But you should try to hide it.
Yeah, either way.
So I don't know if that's telling about me or not. I am a human being that poops from time to time, but
Have you squatted, buddy?
I haven't.
My man, let me tell you something.
Knees in the chest?
Yo, cannonball all the way. Cannonball Adderley.
And it truly makes a difference.
Oh, yeah. Because like it's very true about what it's saying about your angle of expulsion, whatever the science is behind it. But like I used to be a sitter, I would be on the toilet. Man, when the iPad came out, I was taking 1 hour and 15 minute shits, no lie.
Yeah,
I also didn't have a job. But now I'm like in and out in 7 minutes. My girlfriend doesn't even know who I am. And this is not a commercial.
Wait a second. So your version of in and out is still 7 minutes?
Yeah.
What's
hey,
wrong
my man,
here?
I came down from a 1:15 to 7.
Hour
That's a
and
lot.
15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you think about it, our body was designed before people created chairs. Like chairs were not a thing. Like chairs were a thing that only the richest, most powerful person
cavemen
in your town got to do, because that's where we get the word chairman from, because it was like, there's the guy who gets to sit in a chair.
I didn't know
Holy
that.
Shit.
There we go.
But yeah, chairs were a luxury. Nobody shat when they were in a chair seated
unless
position.
You were really balling.
Right. You just like, our bodies were designed at a time when you just like squatted down like a catcher behind the plate and
on the chamber pot.
Right.
Which they still do with Eastern style toilets.
Yeah.
Right.
The hole in the ground.
Just a hole in the ground. Noah, what is something that is underrated?
Underrated. Breathwork classes.
Breathwork classes.
Also going to put this one on my girlfriend. She's a little bit of one of those white girl hippie dippies.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Signed me up for a breathwork class at a yoga studio.
Okay.
Which to me sounded incredibly ridiculous.
Like and not exercise?
No, not exercise. It's literally 45 minutes of focusing on your breathing in a specific way.
Whoa.
And I, you know, at the beginning of class, I had to stop myself from laughing because I felt so stupid. And by the end, I felt very relaxed and enjoyed it very much. I've tried to do meditation. I've tried to do yoga. I can't turn my mind off.
Right. Mm.
Breath work was the first time I literally turned my mind off and for 45 minutes wasn't thinking about anything other than the breathing. And I felt great afterwards.
Oh, so it's like a form of meditation, breath work? Or is it people like, hey, the way you breathe is all fucked up.
No,
you
need some breath work. I guess it would be closer to meditation.
Right,
yeah,
right, right.
Where the whole point is to
how do you do a breath work?
So basically they say breathe in through your stomach, then take a second breath on top through your chest, and then release. So it's like,
ooh,
huh.
Ooh, and like you just do
popping
and
your chest out.
Yeah, like, well, you got to focus. That's the thing is, like, so actually being conscious of like taking it into my stomach, then the chest, and then releasing it, it's all through your mouth, no nose breathing.
Right.
So it was just like 45 minutes of concentrating on that, and it actually took me outside of myself, which was nice.
The stomach takes like much bigger breaths than the chest, but I feel like I had naturally always breathed with my chest. So
there you go.
So don't be distracted. We're going to be doing that for the rest of the show.
Miles so just this fell is over. A super chill show. I'm saying breath work is an underrated. Hippy dippy science.
Yeah, there's something from the coasts that other people can use. Everybody
and
breathes.
And I'm sure there's an app for that too.
Yeah, everybody breathes. There is an app for that, and actually, I just got a Apple Watch for I guess Christmas, and it notices when I'm stressed out, and it's like, hey, it's time for your daily like breathing exercise.
Is it ever wrong?
No, it's usually right on. It's like, hey, your heart is racing like you're doing a wind sprint and
but you're
just
sitting down.
Still. Right. This is probably a good time for you to take some deep breaths.
You're on uppers.
It's usually cocaine, but,
take some breaths.
Greenies.
Put your knees
no,
in
you're
your
old
chest.
School. You take greenies.
I take greenies, man. Just a handful of greenies. Dissolve them into the pot of coffee like, the Royals used to do.
Yeah. Oh, really? Was that, in the George Brett era?
George Brett, when he was shitting himself?
Yeah.
The best viral clip of all time.
What is it?
When George Brett is telling a story during stretches of a time he had some bad crab legs and just like, shit himself for hours.
No.
It's pretty funny. Check it out.
But yeah, they used to have the regular coffee and then the leaded coffee, and that just had amphetamines dissolved into it.
Amazing.
I think the last time I paid attention to
God, those were the days. Amphetamine coffee, Lawrence Taylor smoking crack at halftime.
Right. Yeah.
Athletes used to have so much fun.
You could smoke a cigarette like on the field if you wanted to.
I think Vlade Divac used to smoke cigarettes like in the locker room after the games.
What is something you think is overrated, Noah?
I'll tell you what's overrated.
Uh-oh.
And this is going to sound probably a bit spoiled, but being a homeowner is overrated.
Okay.
I own a house in Atlanta, and it is nothing but headaches in terms of repairs and things that need to be done from afar. It is so much nicer to live in an apartment where you're comfortable and someone has the job of fixing things for you.
Right, you can complain to someone.
I woke up this morning to a text message about a storm of tornadoes that two trees fell in my backyard and knocked down the fence, so now I need to replace the fence. I need to pay for the trees to be chopped up and removed, and none of it is covered by home insurance.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
Is there even like a package you can get for like the full Monty?
I don't think so, because it would have been covered if like the trees hit my house, which thankfully they didn't.
But in terms
of just like moving a big ass tree that
That's on you, fam.
Yeah.
So that's owning a house that you don't live in. Would you say that's what's
because I used to live there, and
even then,
you're the homeowner, you are responsible for anything that goes wrong in a home, and anyone who owns a home will tell you something will always be going wrong in that home.
It's true. It is absolutely
true. So, again, I'm grateful to own a house. I realize how nice that is and the privilege that comes with it. But that said, there are a lot of headaches that people don't think about.
Yeah. It's funny. It's raining here in Los Angeles, like one of the 10 days in the year that it rains.
Mm-hmm.
And no houses in Los Angeles were built to, like, have any sort of rain on them. Like, that's just something learn.
Roofs are caving.
What do you mean?
Roofs just like water leaks, and like so we will have the occasional leak at our house. And whenever we bring it up to other people who are homeowners, they're like, "Oh yeah, we have leaks too. Like our basement is filled with water. Like nobody's house is actually built to withstand water."
I don't even know. I was curious about that. When I was fucking 13, my fucking roof fell in after a rainstorm because it didn't. The water wasn't draining properly, and there was a pool above my living room. Yo, in the middle of the night, the shit just fell out.
God.
And then, like, my parents were like, fuck it, we're gonna have skylights rather than replace the roof. They're like, can we just put some plexiglass over this? So shout out to the homemade skylights.
Yeah. And that's what got you into astrology.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Shout out to Susan Los Angeles contractors. All right, and then what is a myth, Noah? What's something most people believe to be true that you know to be false?
It might be controversial. Feel free to disagree, but I believe that L.A. traffic is a myth. The idea that L.A. has the worst traffic in the country is an absolute myth. I've lived in New York and Atlanta, and I have found both of those cities to have significantly worse traffic than L.A.
Really? Interesting.
We were in Atlanta recently and at rush hour when we visited House of Works HQ, and I was surprised when the guy's like, man, the traffic. And I was like,
see, so I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe it's situational.
So wait, what's the scale that you're using to determine how bad the traffic is?
So for me, it's more a measure of the constant traffic as opposed, like LA rush hour traffic, I think is unfuckwithable.
Right.
Like trying to go somewhere at 6 o'clock on LA highway, of course, that's a gridlock like nowhere else. But like in New York, whether it's 3 p.m. on a Tuesday, 4 a.m. on a Wednesday,
right,
it's going to take you 30 minutes to go a mile and a half.
Right.
And that's just regardless. That's just New York traffic.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just the city is too small with too many people and the infrastructure is not built for it. So, like, L.A. by far has the most cars on the road because there's so many more people here, but you guys also have the most highways and more lanes to use.
Right.
Whereas in New York and Atlanta, that are heavy population cities in a small area, the cities actually aren't built for the kind of traffic that they now encounter.
So the reason that, you know, there's that sketch, the Californians, right, where they like all talk about right. the different roads.
The far off high.
But the reason people talk about that shit is because LA traffic is, you can get around it sometimes. Like surface roads, there are like ways to get around the traffic and like cut your commute completely in half. And LA is just like streaky also. Like
right.
there's just like times like, when, like Waze is as an app is built for Los Angeles because sometimes you'll just be randomly in a traffic jam, and if you know a way around it, you can, you know, cut your
New York
way down.
There's no way around
no
it.
No way.
If you need to go from Brooklyn to Manhattan, there are
subway.
Three bridges
right.
that
yeah.
everyone well is trying to take. Yeah.
Right.
So I'm looking at now the rankings, right, of the worst uh-huh. traffic. And they base this off of the number of hours a person spends
in
traffic.
Okay.
So in LA, an average in a year, the average driver is spending 102 hours in traffic. Second is New York City with 91 hours. Mm. And then fourth is Atlanta
okay.
at 70.
So I'm not far off with my claims.
Right.
But
this is what I think. Now, I think there's something to what you're saying, which is that most LA people have to actually commute very large, like longer distances because it's
out.
So spread out that, of course, you would be in traffic right. much longer because your commute is a, you know, the distance is much greater versus like, yeah, if you're just commuting around New York City or the area, it's probably not the same sort of mileage that we're talking.
Correct. Like I once had to take an Uber to the Bronx. I live in Bushwick.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking 7 miles geographically, 52 minutes to go 7 miles. That's New York traffic.
That's right. That's like trying to go from here to like Santa Monica though.
Nah, but like per mile, New York is way
right.
worse.
Right.
That's for
so,
sure.
So that's a myth that I guess I kind of busted.
No, in a way, because
yeah. I think you did. And also, I bet that those statistics are based on self-reported stats, right?
Yeah,
like they're not like
spending 4 hours in
right.
traffic.
Yet. LA people are super dramatic, first of all. And second of all, it's going to seem way worse when you're the one driving. Whereas in New York, you're never the one driving for the most part. Most people who live in New York City are not like parking their car on the street.
I think they say the worst though is Moscow.
Moscow?
I mean, I've really? Seen all those. Man, have you seen all those dash cam videos from Russia? Like,
yeah.
People fucking. It's crazy, though, too, because when, like, the equivalent of, like, a major thoroughfare is, like, congested, people just drive on
yeah.
the fucking sidewalk.
Yeah, they don't care. Yeah. Well, yeah. Mumbai was pretty crazy like that, too.
Yeah.
Mm.
But, yeah, I was just keeping it American.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, you know, we like to keep it somewhat international sometimes.
One of my favorites.
What was number three?
Number three is
San Francisco. Okay.
But it's huge. The gap goes. LA at 102 hours, New York at 91, then San Francisco at 79. So I feel like just based on those two, there's something to be said. But either way, the traffic is
that's
fucking
over
bad.
The course of a year.
Yeah,
that's not that big a drop off. That's 12 hours. That's 1 hour a month drop off.
Yeah, but I mean, I think just generally, yeah, 41 is the average. I think
one of my favorite hustles that I ever heard of is there were people who were buying ambulances in Moscow. And then, like, selling rides to rich people
oh,
in ambulances.
To be like, yo, you got to get somewhere, yeah. But you don't got helicopter money?
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's honestly, like just for that's a hustle you got to respect.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
thinking that's outside innovation. The box. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really like, well, who the fuck oh, shit, an ambulance. Okay.
All right. Let's get into the stories of the day. First off, just shout out to my fellow whites. Particularly of the man varietal. We just stay in the news, keeping things interesting.
White man.
As if there was any doubt, the Austin bomber turned out to be, I believe this is a direct quote from the Austin police, some white dude, just some random white dude, who 24-year-old, no real indications why he was doing this, as of yet, just some random white guy. Who?
Yeah, still murky what's going on. Like, apparently, like, he, because remember how yesterday or the day before, a bomb blew up at a FedEx facility, and that basically gave them the lead. And then they looked at the camera. This dude was wearing, like, a wig, like right. A Jeff Spicoli wig.
Right.
And then they tracked him.
He had his Johnny Manziel on.
Yeah. They tracked him to, like, a hotel, and then there was, like, during that, the chase ensued, and he was cornered. And then when he was, like, SWAT officers approached, he detonated a bomb in his car and killed himself.
Once they started shooting at him, he was like,
yeah,
I haven't followed the story closely. Can I guess that the major media outlets and politicians are hesitating to call him a terrorist?
Oh, you betcha.
Yeah, of course.
You
but that always happens.
No, and in fact, they have said there's no terrorist link. Like, they've specifically correct. Cut this off from being defined as terrorist because he did not.
Well, because he's a
he's
quote,
not
unquote,
like
white
a dark skinned white. Right. He's just a white white.
Dark skinned white.
Yeah. He's a white white, a light white. So that means it's not terrorism. It's just a hobbyist, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy because, like, you know.
Boys being boys.
Right.
Right now, they don't know. Yeah. Like, they're having trouble finding a motive. Like, apparently he had a couple roommates, but they don't think he acted like he acted alone. That's what they believe. And then. You know, the usual quotes are coming out where, like, the neighbors are like, oh, my God, he's such a nice kid from a good family.
Wait, they do believe he acted alone.
They do believe right, he did, okay. Despite having roommates.
Sure.
But then the other thing is, too, they don't know what he did the last 24 hours, so they don't know if there's other packages out there. So, you know, stay vigilant. But I think the flip side of this is one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up in the beginning was that while everyone is going to go and try and make sense of what this bomber was doing and why he did what he did, a story that will probably, you know, not get much coverage is that on Sunday over the weekend in Sacramento, another unarmed black man was killed by police because they thought he had a gun, which was a cell phone.
Right. And didn't they downgrade it from they thought it was a gun to then they thought it was a crowbar and then they admitted that it was a cell phone?
Yeah. Well, at first they said, like, oh, he was smashing shit out with a crowbar. So the story goes is that this 22-year-old kid, Stephon Clark, he was in his backyard and, like, a sheriff's helicopter said
in
his own backyard where he lives with his grandparents and his siblings.
Right.
And the sheriff's helicopter said, I think there's a guy in the backyard. We suspect he's been smashing out windows and maybe tried to get into a home. So then the guys on foot, PD, rolls up and they see him in the backyard. So this is what goes down. So basically they said they identified this guy because he, obviously, the time old
description.
He fit the fucking description, which means just not white. So what happened was they follow him to this backyard. So they say police officers said that as they approached Clark, they ordered him to stop and show his hands. But then instead of doing so, Clark ran to the backyard of the home away from police because they had guns on him. But who knows? You know, right. Because it's not like there's a pattern of getting shot by police when you're black. Police followed in pursuit and Clark allegedly turned toward them and began advancing toward them, quote, while holding an object that was extended in front of him. And they believed the object to be a gun and saying they had feared for their lives. They shot him multiple times. I think overall they fired at Clark 20 times. And they waited 5 minutes before even doing anything. They waited for other people to arrive before handcuffing him and doing life-saving procedures. But at that point, he was already dead. So there is body cam footage. It's still very murky. We'll never really know until the body cam footage is out. But this obviously fits the same pattern of shit that you see all the time, which is police will always fear for their life if it's a black person. Right. Because, you know, a lot of people are conditioned in this country to believe that all black men are villains and evildoers. So, again, I just want to bring that up because I know this man's life will probably not get as much attention because everyone's going to be so fixated on the bomber. Or who knows, or some other dumb shit that Trump does. But again, the Black lives still matter. So
and when backstories come out, they'll probably paint the bomber in a better light than Stephon Clark.
God damn, man. You're just standing in your own backyard and the police just descend on you. Yeah. Like, that's like beyond just minding your own business.
That's the kind of fucking fear you, like, I mean, it's crazy. When I get pulled over, the other day I was walking the dog and I was like on Highland, and these cops pull up fucking aggressive and hop out the car. I immediately just put my hands up because I was like, yo, I don't know what the fuck is going on. And then they're like, yo, relax, relax. I was like, why?
They pulled up on you?
No. Oh. So I was like, they're like, relax, relax. I was like, yo, what do you want? And they're like, we're here to like answer this call. And they were acting like I was crazy because my immediate reaction was to be submissive and be like, yo, I'm like, I dropped the dog's leash. I was like, like this. And it's just Christ, fucking man. Terrible, man. Like when fucking 22-year-old kid, he has two young children and you're fucking shot for nothing. Again, I don't know what the fuck really happened, but I'm assuming that it fits the same pattern that we usually see where I'd imagine that, you know, they probably could have exercised a little more restraint.
Let's take it worst case scenario and assume he was actually the person breaking in with crowbars. Right. Even on the off chance, which I don't think was the case, that was true, it still wouldn't warrant being shot 20 times and killed. If you're breaking in with a crowbar, then you get handcuffed, you go to jail and await trial.
Yeah, you don't need to.
So regardless of if it was a horrible misunderstanding and he was the wrong person altogether, or if he truly was the person the call was about, either way, what happened doesn't fit the crime.
No, absolutely not. And again, we have people who, you know, again, so many police officers and many people in America are conditioned to assume immediately this person is a danger to me.
Right.
And this is not the fucking case.
Yeah.
And even if it is, you know what I mean? Like you're saying, even if he was the right fucking person, that you don't have to fucking shoot at a guy 20 times to make your point. And again, you see there are many times when people do the same thing. And when you're not black, you tend to get out of the situation.
If the weapon in question is a crowbar, at no point do you even need to pull a gun on that person.
No. Right. I mean, unless he's got like some kind of superhero strength, like you could throw a fucking crowbar like it's a fucking arrow. I don't think so.
Right. Isn't that what the cop said? He thought Mike Brown was like the Incredible Hulk or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah. So I guess keep an eye on both those stories.
Please keep an eye on both those stories because we have to stay vigilant with this kind of shit, and we can't forget that this is also a dimension of the society that we live in this country.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. And we're back. And so up first, I wanted to talk real quick about Cambridge Analytica because this story is staying on the headlines. You know, Mark Zuckerberg has yet to come out and make an official statement.
Did you say he wasn't hiding or something?
He was kind of conspicuously quiet.
Yeah, motherfuckers lost like $12 billion in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, so his board can't be too psyched. But I wanted to talk, first of all, about the idea that I've heard both sides of this, that there is like a danger to them having too much access to our information because, you know, that information is powerful. And then I've heard people be like, nah, this is just like some bullshit that they claim to be able to, you know, predict and influence human behavior with this sort of data. And, you know, I find it really convincing. There's the whole story was that the guy who ended up being the whistleblower and spoke to the New York Times was a student at Cambridge where this guy was doing a graduate study. And I remember this study coming out and like writing about it when it did. But basically, he found that with 70 likes from a person's Facebook profile, he was able to predict something about that person better than any of their friends. With 150 likes, he was able to predict something about that person better than their parents. And with 300 likes, they were able to do it better than their like romantic or like life partner could.
Meaning 300 things
that person had liked. Okay. Or like, yeah.
Basically, like it could be posts. It could
posts,
be
exactly.
Pages.
That's it. Not like, here are my 300 favorite things. It's just they're scraping like 300 pieces of data likes. Points off of their... Wow. Facebook
and
profile.
And what do you mean why they say they could predict? Like, what do they mean by that exactly?
I don't know.
Like, behavioral things that probably could be... I don't know, that's where,
yeah, okay. I think it's, like, behavioral
stuff. Who they'd
stuff.
Vote for in an election.
Yeah.
What kind of messaging would work?
That's not exactly... because this person put this information out there, Facebook was immediately like, oh, shit, we shouldn't make people's likes public at that point. And Cambridge Analytica did a shady thing where they claimed to be giving people a psychological questionnaire. And then when they signed up for that questionnaire, it gained access to all of their Facebook data that way.
Mm-hmm.
And also a lot of their friends' Facebook data. So they kind of went in a roundabout way of getting into people's Facebook information. But it's no doubt fucking shady, whether it works or not. I think it's shady. One thing that I'm surprised to find out is that this really isn't a partisan thing. I don't think we can be like, well, the Trump campaign, this proves that they were shady, because like this is the sort of thing that both sides have wanted to do and have successfully done in the past. And there's this National Review article, which I find a lot of their writing, you know, to be not that convincing, but I thought their article about this was pretty convincing. They compared the coverage of Cambridge Analytica and, you know, this media breach with the coverage of the Obama campaign and what they did with Facebook in 2012. And a lot of this stuff is very similar. Like there was a article in, I think it was like MIT Tech Review, where they talked about how Obama's campaign began the election year confident it knew the name of every one of the 69 million Americans whose votes put him in the White House. Pundits talk in abstract about reassembling Obama's 2008 coalition, but within the campaign, that goal was literal. And then they used people's friends to like influence them, their friends on Facebook. And basically Facebook was like, look, this is kind of abusive what you're doing, but we're going to let it slide as long as you stop doing it on November 7th.
So after Election Day?
After Election Day.
Wow.
And they basically just let it happen. And they're bragging, like there are articles where they're bragging about this stuff and basically saying, we were able to use people's Facebook information to change their behavior. Here's the exact quote. So it's from this MIT article. They said, the Obama 2012 campaign generated a new political currency that predicted the behavior of individual humans. The campaign didn't just know who you were. It knew exactly how it could turn you into the type of person it wanted you to be, which is like exactly what we're worried about Cambridge Analytica doing. And that was in 2012 in an article that was like glowing and being like, yeah, we did it. So I can totally see how, you know, the right might feel like, well, now because we do it, it's a problem. And I think I get that there's a double standard. I'm okay with there being a double standard as long as it causes us to stop this shit from happening. I don't think either side should be doing this.
No, I don't think. I think what's scarier is the idea that that this is a way that you can operate a campaign or an influence campaign in general, like without just sort of giving people facts and letting them decide based on the facts, let them come to a conclusion.
Right.
I just think it's all crazy but not surprising that this entire thing came from people's endless need for self-validation.
Yeah, right.
Like at the end of the day, it all just came from people wanting to be on social media so people could like their shit.
Yeah. No, I think that's one of the reasons too when you mentioned that, like why I stopped using Facebook, because before I would get a high off of like a lit status or like flexing on Facebook when that
refreshing
was
refreshing
like,
your phone every
like,
10
ooh,
seconds.
Like, ooh, the little globe lit up with a red number. I got a notification. And then like I was just really kind of – I was like, yo, I'm fucking over this shit. Like it was cool for like a year, like, you know, from college to maybe – a few years out, and then I just didn't have the energy to like perform on Facebook for people is what it felt like. Like it was performative. And yeah, like in that sort of feedback loop of getting likes, I think it sort of changed a bit. But yeah, I know like a lot of people who really do like, I even know people who like will come at me like, yo, why don't you like the thing that I posted? I'm
well,
like,
that's crazy.
I mean, that's not the normal, but
People letting you know that you can cut them out of your life.
No, that's people who I'm like, this is why I don't fuck with you.
Yeah.
Cause you're pressing me about not liking a fucking YouTube video you put up. Okay.
I think that's a sign that you need to be like, all right, man, get in here for a hug. Like, you need some actual human contact.
You need some contact hours, my man.
And then you need to delete Facebook. So delete Facebook is something that's trending right now. I would just say that's an easy first step, but this original study did not focus on Facebook likes only. It was focusing on all the data you can get from a smartphone. And the guy who designed the study in Cambridge, who, by the way, Facebook called him the day after the study was released and threatened to sue him and also offered him a job because they were like, holy shit.
Fuck you, but I love you.
Yeah. But
we won't sue you if you take this job.
But he was basically saying it's our smartphones. Like, our smartphones are, in his words, a vast psychological questionnaire that we are constantly filling out, both consciously and unconsciously.
All right, so I'm going back to the two-way paper.
Flip
so,
phone, baby.
Yeah.
You need to
the razor.
Figure out if you're, like, because they know how fast you're moving. They know much
dude,
shit
GPS
about you.
GPS is like a fucking...
I will say to the delete Facebook people... Don't overlook the fact that Facebook owns Instagram. So if you're going to be about that life, be about that life. You're deleting Facebook, delete that gram too.
Right. Go for it. Go whole hog.
Right.
That's why people just need to cop the Matrix phone that Nokia is coming out with. Right. Go back to basics and then keep, just do your texts. But at the same time, I feel like I would kind of lose my mind if I didn't have a smartphone.
Well, there does seem to be room in the sort of zeitgeist for a company that is just like straight up. Really good
basics.
At tech shit, but is like, we're going back to basics. This is untraceable. This is unfuckwithable. Like,
no internet on your phone.
Yeah, essentially. Like very, very basic.
You got
like,
2G data, my man.
Right.
You can text. You can be communicated with. That's all
to the year 2029 when libraries and encyclopedias are that new hot shit again.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Going analog, baby.
They're like, yo, is that a 1990s kids encyclopedia? Yeah. It's a book. I have a original paper encyclopedia.
Yeah, we should buy Encyclopedia Britannica. I bet that's like costs maybe a couple $1,000s right now.
Like the set?
For the no, just the
You were about
the brand.
To say Encyclopedia Brown, weren't you?
I was.
That's
yes.
Great childhood.
We should buy
series.
Him too.
Apparently, as super producer Nick just hollered in our ears, there is a phone that does the back to basics kind of thing called the Light Phone. And it's a simple 4G phone with e-ink messaging and other essential tools. A phone that actually respects you. Is my phone disrespecting me? Is it my phone violating
me? So it's
me?
Called
it might be.
Light Phone, LIGHT, and you can look it up. They're doing a funding campaign right now.
Which they've clearly funded well over what they needed.
Right.
By 400%.
Right. But if you're interested, I think they are shipping them by April.
What is this? It says, by allowing you to leave behind your smartphone, it encourages you to spend quality time doing the things you love the most, free of distractions. The Light Phone 2 brings essential tools like messaging and alarm clock, so it's even easier to use your smartphone more often for good. Okay.
All right. What else is in the news, Miles?
What else? Because Donald Trump is the new Post Malone, because he's telling everybody congratulations. So basically, Putin... quote unquote won a quote unquote election in quote unquote Russia when really
well I think Russia is real
I don't know
that one doesn't need to be
well that's maybe that's you I don't believe anything everything is a simulation at this point but yes so he won a not even a contested election motherfucker basically was like yo anybody who's even coming close to fucking with me getting a unanimous victory get them the fuck out of here or bar them or expel them from the country or threaten their life so. Putin won with, I think, over 76% of the vote or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and there was – the hilarious thing is there were so many people complaining about, like, ballot rigging and shit. People were stuffing ballot boxes. And, like, it was just blatant fuckery with this election because – and Putin won by landslide. Whatever. There's a crazy
because
video.
Because it's Russia. Yeah, you can see, like –
there's this video of a woman –
there's closed-circuit video.
Yeah, she's just stuffing the fucking ballot box with
just
crazy
handfuls.
Votes. Just like, fuck it. Yo, we got to stack the deck. Anyway, so because of that – a lot of Trump's advisors, or we like to call them rational adults. Well, some are rational, but they told him, yo, my man, when you call him, do not congratulate him in all caps, like instructions, like how to talk to this man. And what does this motherfucker do? Congratulates him on his great, wonderful victory. Yeah. Because obviously we don't want to congratulate him because we're not trying to let him think that we believe that he's legitimate.
So just his press briefing, like from his staff, said like on a list of things that happened was like Putin won, parentheses, all caps, do not congratulate.
Right.
And he called him to congratulate him.
Right. That's just like, nah, fuck it. What don't you want me to do? Great. Watch me do this shit. Hold that, LHR McMaster.
It's because like they're dealing with a two-year-old.
Right, but then...
don't say the thing you don't want them to do because then they will do that thing. Like
the crazy thing was like, idea. Well, why didn't you do it? And someone was trying to say, well, HR McMaster didn't explicitly mention it out loud while making eye contact with Trump kind of thing. Like, are you serious? So you got to get in this dude's face now every time to do the most basic shit?
Yeah, and didn't specifically bring it up on the phone.
Yeah, it's insane. And not even... Then they're like, also they're like, yo... Let's take a tough stance about the attempt on that double agent's life on the UK and how we stand with the UK on this. No, didn't mention that.
Did not
at all.
Mention a damn
because
thing.
He's just a I don't know why he turns into such a scared person whenever he's on the phone with Putin. Unless, right? I mean, we have to say this constantly. What power does he have over him? Because clearly he doesn't give a fuck about the scandals he has over here.
Right.
Like, I mean, he has three active, like, sexual harassment. Like type lawsuits in the right now in America, but
at least
when he gets on the phone with Putin, he's like, "Oh, I love you so much, thank you so much, te amo mucho, papi."
Right. Although, so you could say that this indicates Putin has something over him. It's also in keeping with Trump's just general love and respect for dictators like Duterte, and
he also did the same thing with Erdogan in Turkey. Yeah. Was like, hey, congrats on your win, and that was another one that was like,
I think there's an element outside of the politics that's just on some man shit that Trump realizes Putin could fuck him up.
Yeah,
like,
right.
If they just were in the same room for no reason, like he's shook. Putin would beat the shit out of him.
Right.
I would pay to see Putin smack him around a little bit. Like, what's up, Donald? What'd I tell you about them sanctions, B?
Have you seen that video of Putin stretching his hips out where he's just like doing the
before
hip
judo
wiggle?
Or something?
Yeah, before judo.
No.
It's funny.
I know he loves the judo. Yeah. The Puerto Rican judo. Oh, judo know what that is? That's when I say judo know who got this game? Shout out to Cameron. But again, very disconcerting when you think about too, we haven't done shit about the meddling that's even happening in our country now, despite the most blunt calls for action from the intelligence community. And still again,
that's the thing.
Our president doesn't
want to
press him.
It's annoying and it shouldn't have been done, but at the same time, you have to pick your battles. And it's like, of all the things that we have to deal with respect to Trump and what's going on, even with Russia, congratulating Putin is very low on my list of priorities of what needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
Like, fine, who gives a fuck? He shouldn't have done it. He did it. Nothing actually matters from that.
Right. I think the only reason it's concerning is because it just emboldens Putin even more.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it legitimizes this quote-unquote election, but at the same time, whether or not it was a legitimate election, the reality of the fact is he is in charge of Russia.
Yeah.
So, whether or not you like how he came to seize that power, he has that power, and that's not changing regardless of if Trump says congratulations or doesn't.
Yeah, well, because it's like the nearly antithetical response to when Obama was president, like, Hillary Clinton made a point last election to be like, this is a fucking sham. You know what I mean? That's clearly like one of the reasons why in the deck of things Putin hated about Hillary Clinton, that was high up there. So it must be really nice for Putin to have a nice phone call from somebody he knows he's got that Debo mind control over.
And CIA Chief Brennan, former CIA Director John Brennan, is just coming out and just saying like all the shit that we say around the water cooler, which we don't have a water cooler, but the proverbial water cooler.
Yet.
One day.
Hey, we're doing all right. We might have a water cooler.
Poopery is about to send one after hear this.
But he was like, who knows? Maybe the Russians have something personal on Trump. So this is the former chief of the CIA. And the right has now been forced to create a conspiracy theory where the head of the CIA and Hillary Clinton and Obama were all like in on this long-term plan to frame Trump for colluding with Russia. So,
long-term, like they were planning that he was going to win.
Right, exactly.
While there were 16 people in the primary, 15 of which were shitting on Trump at the time.
Right. They were the most surprised of anybody.
You ever met somebody who cannot admit they're wrong?
Yeah.
And they do anything
to
fucking convince themselves otherwise. It's just crazy to see that play out at this level and with a hive mind.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a Jewish comedian. I know a few people who don't want to admit that they're wrong.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. And we're back. And so a couple quick stories we wanted to hit on that are pretty fun. Don Jr. Had an affair with Aubrey from Danity Kane, which I had to be reminded Danity Kane is that women's group that P. Diddy created.
Iconic, man.
Iconic.
Dawn.
Who was the little one? Fuck, man.
Dawn, the little one, Aubrey.
I hated the whole gang. Dawn, Shannon. D. Woods.
D. Woods.
Shout out to D. Woods. Andrea, who's what I'm talking about.
Oh, the little Latino one.
Little one.
She was on Celebrity Apprentice, and she and Diaper Don hit it off, and they had an affair. And his wife found out about it at the time. He was forced to break it off. And
that was around 2012.
You know, as bad as it was for him personally, it was worth it because we got some great art from it. Because when Aubrey dropped her solo album, there was a track on it. That might have been about their relationship.
Maybe.
It was about her in a relationship with a married man who would not leave his wife and family. And it was called, what was it called?
It's just initials. DJT.
Oh.
But what are Donald?
No, it's DTJ. Donald,
no. Well, his legal name is Donald John Trump Jr.
Oh, right.
So without the Jr., he is DJT.
Okay.
And it makes no sense because it's not like there's a hook that's like, don't just talk or something like that you could call DJT. It's just called DJT. Just listen to this. So, I mean, when you think of, here are the facts of their thing. They met on The Apprentice in 2011. They started having an affair. Apparently, Don Jr. told Aubrey constantly, it's over with my wife, who was pregnant at the time, and I'm not going back to her. Then his wife found emails, and he goes, look, Ma, I can't walk out on my family like that.
Right.
And cut
his wife
to
made it real.
Yeah, cut to a year later. This is the song. So we're going to play – this is just the beginning of the song that apparently has nothing to do with Donald Trump. So keep those facts in mind as you listen to this.
You can say it was all a fucking fairy tale.
Fucking
or you can
fairy
say it
tale.
Was real, but I need to know. And you know. Whatever the truth is defines the reality of you and I forever. And I need to be able to define that before I can walk away.
It's a terrible Drake.
I thought it was forever at the time, but maybe I was
she gave DJT a much sexier voice.
I thought it was forever at the time.
You wanna believe that everything with me was a lie, a fantasy. And you want to go back and live in the life that you had, have, forever.
I don't know. I couldn't do what I said I would do, so that answered the question for me. I'll always want you, and I'll always wonder about it, but it doesn't matter, because I have to stay here.
What made you stop believing in our world?
You know, I think probably the loss of the other world.
My two worlds. Do I leave my wife for my Kumar?
Right. Or,
like, what do I do? So I just like how messy Aubrey O'Day is and fucking calling out names. But, you know, she moved on. She was with Pauly D from the Jersey Shore for a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. I think they only just broke up.
So much hair care product in one relationship.
Yeah, seriously.
Wait, has she come out in the last week or so acknowledging whether or not this was, in fact, about?
She has not. But one can speculate with a song like DJT, given what we do know or what is reported.
And this all just resurfaced because of the divorce that's happening.
And then people started being like, wait, hold up. Let me start connecting some dots. And I mean, but it's weird that, like, I wonder if what sparked, because now, his wife's filing for divorce. Is it because, you know, he's cheating again? Or is it that, like, conspiracy against the United States isn't a flattering charge to have?
Right. Yeah, we don't know about that. Or maybe the, you know, term on the don't divorce me thing was up. We don't know.
Wait, what do you mean don't
divorce? Like a prenup?
You don't marry into the Trump organization.
Oh, right. They'd be like,
kind of
if you get to
obligation.
Right. Get to this point, and then you can divorce me.
Yeah.
But not before.
That tends to be how a lot of those things go.
See, that's why I'll stay broke and not married.
Wait, so was Don Jr. in in The Apprentice? Like, how
he was an
he...
advisor.
So he was like one of the people in the
boardroom?
He board
was room? In the boardroom.
Yeah, got it.
But his tech is, I guess, yeah, his role, like his on the credit is like an advisor. But yeah.
He was
yeah.
getting OTPHJs under the table while Aubrey was about to get kicked out.
I don't know what that means.
Over the pants hand job. Come on, nice. Man.
Yeah.
Come on, Dad.
Were you never in middle school?
It's been a while, man. It's been a while. All right, and then Miles, you watch some random shit on Netflix.
Look, I love
and you know, I love hearing about
whenever
it.
Whenever Netflix, you know, it knows me. These algorithms, they fuck with me because I love Australian reality shows because I love the accents. And a new one popped up yesterday that is called "Go Back to Where You Came From,"
fantastic.
And it is about basically like six xenophobic. Immigrant-hating Australians, or like five, and like one hippie woman who loves, like, who feels like Australia can accept more immigrants. They basically challenge them to the craziest exposure therapy a xenophobe could have, which is to live as a refugee would, that they have such ill feelings towards, because there are a lot of them, they're like, yeah, when the boat people come over, it's like, you know, whatever. Like, they just hate the boat. They call them boat
guy
people.
Back Wait, to
so,
where you
so are they talking
from?
About, like, Southeast Asians or, like, the Aboriginal
No, people
community?
From people coming from Iraq, people coming from Africa, people okay. coming from everywhere. Who well, just, you know, a lot of people everywhere.
To
they,
be fair, one of the women said she just hates people with black skin.
That she
so
did say. She's like, I guess I'm a bit of a racist. I don't like Africans. And I'm like, whoa, okay, you just say shit like that out loud. But, you know, we know how racism works in
to
Australia.
To be fair, compared to the rest of the country, just saying you don't like Africans actually in Australia is only a bit racist.
Yeah, right. right. So
very
in this show,
country.
They basically sit these people down and they sort of do the refugee journey in reverse. So they first meet with refugees that have made it to Australia and like they speak with them. Like, you know, the woman who said, I don't like African people, she met an actual African refugee and heard her legitimate heartbreaking story and was crushed. Like, what's crazy is when you watch the show, when they really confront these people with the reality of what these people face, they're fucking, their shit goes away very quickly. And that's why I kind of kept watching. I was like, whoa, shit. Like, we
it
need this shit.
Actually were. Now I'm about to watch this.
Yeah, we need this shit in this country for people who think, like, because in the way this one African woman, you know, she said, like, when she was in Africa, she had to flee her country because of war. And then when she was a refugee, the UN, like, would come drop off food. But the country they were in, the locals were also starving, so they would rob them for their UN aid food, and then they would in turn starve, and this woman lost her child. To starvation.
Her baby
die of starvation. And this one woman who was like, in her like interview before, she was like, I could shoot them all. She's like, right. Look at them over there, like, they need to go back where they, I could shoot them right now, they make me so mad. This woman was sobbing after she heard the story, and she just goes, I didn't know it was so bad.
Sorry.
Well, what is the
I
fuck?
Didn't know it was
but
so
what's crazy
bad.
Is so many of these people who have the opinion that, you know, like immigrants or refugees are like what? They just don't like their Wi-Fi connectivity and their fucking McDonald's is whack, so they're
well,
just going to come to the America. Like, it's weird what they think the reality is.
I don't think it's surprising to find out that racists are ill-informed.
Of course not. Of course not. But it's amazing to see, though, how quickly some people can literally turn on a dime and be like, this is so horrible.
Hey,
I mean, I've
know,
only seen the
credit
first
to them. At least they're yeah. willing to turn on a dime and admit they were wrong.
I've only seen the first episode, so I don't know how it plays out. I don't know if by the end, like, some people you could tell were starting to push back. Like, they're like, oh, you're manipulating me and just showing me like the worst shit, because they were starting to right. feel empathy and they were like, they didn't like that. And like, they realized that their viewpoints were changing. So I don't know by the end, the show could be total garbage. But what I do know is, like, I love seeing ignorant people get blasted with the truth cannon and having to be like,
hey.
Okay.
Just off this 2-minute summary, I'm hooked.
I'll
go check it out.
But then, like, it started getting real, too. Like, by the second episode, like, then when you're meeting people who have been tortured and shit like that, it's even hard. Like, I empathize, but at a certain point, I was just like, oh, man, it's fucking, this shit is really heavy. But yeah, like, it's a lot of these people, man, like, they really had their viewpoints challenged. And, you know, there's like 3 seasons, so I'm sure there have been 3 different groups. It must have been a somewhat successful show.
The second one was Celebrity. Celebrity Go Back to Where You Came From. So, like, some celebrities were like, yeah, I'm racist.
Wait, really?
You didn't know. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even look that far.
I mean,
yeah,
it was just
Keith Urban admitting that he hates refugees.
And, like, Rodney right. Rood.
But, yeah. Australia is...
It's just the Hemsworth family.
I've talked about this before, but Australia has... I've always been surprised by how racist Australia is.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Back in the day, I worked with somebody who was like a hipster Australian. We hired her. She had just come to the country. She was like, you know, in all ways a hipster, except she was openly racist. We found out like 2 months into the job. We were just like, whoa, what?
What do you mean? Like a piece she wrote or like on a call or?
No, she was just mentioned around the office that like she didn't like. I think she was saying Aboriginal people, but wow. Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
And yeah, because then... it's, man, like I, the first like Australian person I really met who was mad friendly. Like, they were the person who put me on to how racist it was. I'm like, man, y'all are so dope. They're like, it's a bit racist down there. And, like, yeah. She was like – but the way she did it was she said Jap so casually in front of me. I was like, whoa, yo, what? And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. But, yeah, like when the Japs, like, bombed Darwin Bay. And I was like, okay, I don't know what that is. Right. But then I looked into it and I was like, okay, so, you know, they're clearly got some heat for Asian people too. But
oh,
yeah.
Anyone could get it in Australia. They got heat for anyone that's not white.
Oh, but yeah. Shout out to the Zyte gang in Australia because I know y'all are out there and I know y'all ain't these fuckboy racists. Yeah. But yeah,
oh
again,
yeah, listen,
this show
is
but
a
again,
country full of plenty of wonderful people.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, for sure.
Well, no, I know whenever we go start talking about country, people get in the on the mentions and they're like, "Yo, let me tell you about what yeah. Canada's like or what Australia's like."
Right,
yes, I believe.
Like
you.
I always associated Australia like being when I was growing up, I thought it was like. Canada with a cool accent or something, you know, and it turns out it's less progressive than that would suggest.
Hey,
in,
but at least
in a lot of cases,
they fixed their gun problem at least.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
This show, again, I like it's crazy to just see because I feel like this is the kind of show that Americans could benefit from.
Yeah, dude. Why hasn't anybody brought that over?
I don't know. I wonder if it's too controversial. I feel like people like
they fucking
love I'll tell you why it would backfire. Because America is such a whore for reality fame that what would happen is there would be some super proud racist redneck who would admit his fault and then become the most famous person in America for like a month and a half. And then you would dig through all the old tweets to see all the racist shit he used to say. And there would be like a resurgence of his old racist past that came into pop culture. And even if he had flipped, it would still like reignite the views that he used to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, but I feel like
a snake eating its own tail.
Yeah.
In this
either way, I feel like even just try and like trick a racist parent to watch it because right. Even if secondhand, like, because I'm sure they'll be like, yeah, these people are right, and then they'll be like, ooh, fuck,
right.
Like you know, they're talking about three white guys. They go into like a refugee like detention center, and they meet these people from Iraq, and you know, the a lot of these people are on their third time applying for like a refugee visa in Australia. Like, they can't bring the cameras into the facility, so you see them walk in, and they come out, and these dudes look shell-shocked.
Yeah.
And one guy's like, I just met a bloke who, if he doesn't get his visa, he's going to commit suicide. And, like, and he was, like, fucking processing
like
that
ashen.
Shit. No, like, it was crazy, and I was like, man, because before, this dude was talking real spicy
yeah.
in his thing, and, like, one guy couldn't even talk after coming out, and he was just like, I'm sorry, like, I just need a second to process this. I don't know. It's interesting to see, but, you know, knowledge is power, y'all.
Yeah. And I mean, for all the downsides to an American version, there would be no shortage for casting it.
Oh, no, 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 no.
All you would have to do is just scrape some of that Facebook
well,
data.
Well, yeah, but you know, you could do...
I would love to see it in America if they could keep it in its purest form, but I'm just such a skeptic to American right. reality TV that I know in some way it would come back in some kind of negative backlash. Right.
Or I feel like what you could do it with all. Is with people who don't realize they're racist, too. You know what I mean? Like, it's not people who have to be so aggressive, like, I hate all these other people, right. But people who don't, you know, a lot of people don't realize they hold, like, some yeah. racist viewpoints on shit.
Just to guess who's coming to dinner kind of racist.
Yeah. Or just, like, taking hipster racists and being like, yo, sure. let me show you something really quick, Mr. You Think You're So Woke.
Right.
Anyway.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for today's episode. Noah, it has been a pleasure, as always, having you.
Anytime.
Where can people find you, find your comedy, follow you?
All social media is at Noah G Comedy. Website is noahgcomedy.com. So check any of that out. Would love to come see you at a show, meet in person, hang out, discuss ideas. Let's do it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
And you can find me on Twitter only at Jack_O'Brien. I don't deal with those Facebook companies.
Well, you do.
I do, actually. Because we are on Instagram at The Daily Zeitgeist. We're on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We are on Facebook. We have a Facebook fan page. And we have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Where we link off to articles that have the information that we talked about on that day's episode. That is going to do it. Miles, do you have a song?
Yeah, because we're talking about refugees. Let's play a Fugees track off the score, because that album is fucking
still
fire.
Hard. Okay. Still works.
Some of the best work from Wyclef and Lauryn Hill, and also Praz. Shout out to Praz, although he went through some struggles. This one is How Many Mics, because everybody knows, like, Killing Me Softly or Ready or Not and stuff like that. So let's just do a deep cut. How Many Mics? Pick up your microphone.
This was one of those albums that was so good that I, like, know all the sketches.
Oh,
too.
My God.
Like, in between the
word
songs.
Word is... Oh, my God. What
I
the two of you?
Represent.
I fucking represent.
all right. Let's ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys.
Pick up your microphones. Pick up your microphones. Yo. How many mics do we rip on the deli? Say mini money, say many, many, many. How many mics do we rip on the deli? Mini money, say many, many, many.
I get mad frustrated when I rhyme. Thinking of all them kids that try to do this for all the wrong reasons. Seasons change, mad things rearrange, but it all stays the same like the love Doctor Strange. I'm tamed like the rapper. Get red like a snapper when they do that. Got your whole block saying true that. If only they knew that. It was you who was irregular. Sold your soul for some secular music. It's whack. Plus you use that loop over and over. Claiming that you got a new style. Your attempts are futile. Ooh, child. You're puerile. Brainwaves are sterile. You can't create. You just wait to take my tape. Laced with malice. Hands get callous. From ripping microphones from here to Dallas. Go ask Alice if you don't believe me. I get inner visions like Stevie. See me ascend from the chalice like the weebie. Indeed be like Khalid Muhammad. MCs make me vomit. I get controversial. Freaking style with no rehearsal. Ooh, contrary move, friend. Don't you even go there. Me without a mic is like a bee without a snare. I dare to tear into your ego. We go way back like some ganja and Palico or Calico. Vision, my mind's making decisions in your anatomy. And I back this with Deuteronomy. Or Leviticus, God made this word. You can't get with this. Sweet like licorice, dangerous like syphilis. Yeah. Yeah.
How many mics do we rip on the deli? Mini money, say many, many, many. How many mics do I rip on the deli? Mini money, say many, many, many. How many mics do you rip on the deli? Mini money, say many, many, many. How many mics do we rip on the deli? Mini money, say many, many, many.
I used to be underrated. Now I take iron, makes my shit constipated. I'm more concentrated. So on my day off with David Sonnenberg, I play golf. Run through Crown Heights screaming out, Mazel Tov! Problem with no man before black, I'm first you man. Appetite to write like Frederick Douglass with a slave hand. Street pressure, word to Papa, I ain't going under. One day I have a label and make deals with Tommy Mottola. Mama always told me, you're one in a million. Always watch your back, never tangle with Haitian Sicilians. Now I got a record deal. How does it feel? I'm never gonna survive unless I get crazy like Seal. Cause the whole world's out of order. So at night the fiends dance on Grease with John Travolta. One got slaughtered as he caught blood from his mouth. The other tried to duck and caught a left with my Guinness stout. Brother, brother, can't you get this through your head? It's a setup by the feds, they scoping us with their infrareds. How many mics do you rip on the deli? Mini money, you say many, many, many. How many mics do I rip on the deli? Mini money, say me say many, many, many. How many mics do we rip on the deli? Mini money, say me say many, many, many.
Too many MCs, not enough mics. Exit your show like I exit the turnpike. Dyson Dynamite like Dolomite. Double deuce delight, I don't dick Van Dyke. Starlight to star bright, the freaks come out at night. Like my man Wyclef. And my panache will marshal entourage. Squash the squad and hide their bodies under my garage. And when the cops come looking, I be booking to Brooklyn. Beat their trails broken, flipping tokens, still hoboken. A clean getaway like Alec Baldwin. Driving in my fast car, playing Tracy Chapman.
How many mics do we rip on the deli? Say mini money. Say many, many, many. How many mics do you rip on the deli? Mini money. Say many, many, many. How many mics do we rip on the deli? Mini money, say many, many, many. How many mics do I rip on the deli? Mini money, say